Hi, good everybody. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We're connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. And joining us today is Chance Barnett. I love that name, Chance.
Thanks,
that's
Pat.
Your real name, right? It's like
that
an actor name or something.
Real name.
Who is the founder and CEO of Crowdfunder.com. Right off the bat, you want to thank Kickstarter. What's the difference?
So Kickstarter has done a fantastic job allowing people to donate or purchase products. Mm-hmm. Those might be a company. They might not be a company. They might be a great musician building an album.
Right.
But
My son used Kickstarter. Yeah.
So for creative people, it's a great place to accept money. But what you're not doing is taking in investment. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we solely do at Crowdfunder, is we allow a crowd of people to invest in companies and become shareholders so that if that company goes on and does really well, has great sales, they profit. And so that's the real difference. We only allow people to invest. Kickstarter does not allow people to invest.
Right. So what gave you the idea to make virtually anybody a venture capitalist?
Well, I'm, as silly as it sounds, someone who believes in equality, that people who have more money shouldn't just have the exclusive opportunity to invest in great entrepreneurs that can go on and create billions of dollars. So the people that have invested in Facebook, the people that invested in Google, guess who didn't get the opportunity, like everyone else, to invest in those? Everyday people. The world is moving online. We've seen commerce moved from Amazon.com onto the internet,
right,
and out of the store shelves, but it's still happening on the store shelves too. Now we're seeing finance move online over the last 5-10 years. And what we're doing is bringing investing and venture capital onto the internet and allowing everyday people to participate.
I remember when Bezos told me he was starting Amazon long, long time ago over a drink at the Four Seasons. I thought, yeah, sure. It's not going to work. I was wrong about that one, too. How did you get this idea, then? Were you frustrated by not being able to be part of that group? Or?
Well, I would consider myself someone who sees themselves as a little bit of an outsider. I grew up with a chip on my shoulder. I had a lot
you
to
prove.
You too? Yeah, me too. I wanted to get into the technology industry. I went to college here in California, UC Santa Cruz. And at the time, I saw the amazing first big web boom happening over the hill in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that's really fascinating. I want to get in on that. And I had no idea how to get involved. And I actually ended up trying to start something of my own and failed miserably while I was still in college. Realized that my ambition was a lot greater than my education and knowledge. And I sought to balance that out by meeting some people who were really experienced. It took me 10 years just to get a really great company off the ground. And subsequent to that, I've had a handful of companies, and now I'm an investor.
Why didn't you give up? How hard, obviously everybody wants to make money and be involved in something like this, but what made you not give up?
I just had this dying passion and clarity that the internet was going to be a medium that was going to change.
How many years ago?
This was 1994.
Okay. That was a vision then, not clarity, man. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, so I knew that the world was going to change because of what the internet was doing. And I knew that I could make a difference and be a part of that. And it took me a lot of fighting and scratching to get in and then to be able to make my mark. And I'm really excited because now what I get to do on the other side of the table is invest and help the other entrepreneurs who are on that journey themselves.
Right. What are the two or three things that you've learned that other entrepreneurs should know? Give away your secrets.
One, I've learned, I started out thinking I've got to project utter confidence and certainty in my idea. It turns out, once you see enough entrepreneurs and you hear what they're doing and you hear their pitch and you think about investing in them, what you start to really value is a deep level of honesty and humility. So the entrepreneurs that I find are really great people to back are fast learners, but they're also really adaptable. So they'll listen to you if you have experience and you give them input and you disagree with what they're saying. So this idea of being coachable is a really, really important idea for entrepreneurs to surround themselves with great people and to get input from them.
But how do you generate ideas, continue to generate them?
So for me personally, I don't really have a process. The best way I find is just by ingesting a lot of other people's great ideas, and I guess I either steal them or
so you're a thief.
Yeah, or I see something that's just, you know, a tangent off,
right,
of, a little aside from what they're doing. So, you know, what we're doing at Crowdfunder, I'm pretty sure we weren't the absolute first people to think that the internet could be online. In fact, one of our investors tried to do it a long time ago and didn't get it right. So what I love doing is being out there and really just diving in deep to a lot of the great thinkers out there. There's so many great ideas out there for you that if you're willing to dig deep and put yourself in the middle of something, you're gonna get a lot of the right ideas coming at you.
Crowdfunder.com. So the people on Crowdfunder, they can actually be shareholders. I mean, that's the distinction we gotta make. They're part of it right away. Mm-hmm. You're not just asking for money. You're asking for people who wanna make money, basically, right?
Exactly. So we've actually taken what was against the law 4 years ago, helped change the investing laws in the US, and now allow people to invest over the internet into great small businesses and startups. So in the past, before this was possible, you had to be a wealthy individual. You had to invest at least 100 or 250,000, sometimes a million, just to get access to funding these companies that might be great and high growth. Today, you can do that for as little as, say, $1,000, and you can be an everyday citizen that's not one of the wealthy elite.
All right. How would you explain to people who want to become a shareholder or part of this group? What should they do?
So it's really simple. For us at Crowdfunder, we source a whole community of incredible entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs that already have incredible venture capitalists that are investing them, and everyday entrepreneurs on the street that are looking for a shot and looking for people to connect with them and invest in them. We put them on our platform at crowdfunder.com, and we let the crowd make their own decisions about who they want to back.
Oh.
So if you come in, you can sign in for free. You can explore companies. You can connect with the founders of those companies and talk with them over our platform. And if you're interested and it's a fit for you, you could make a investment commitment into that company after reviewing all the information about the company and see exactly what it is you would be buying.
What's been the most, Chance Barnett is our guest. He's CEO and founder of crowdfunder.com. What's been your most satisfying experience so far?
Well,
besides being in our studio.
Besides being here, I would say, one, there's a few experiences that I get to have where I know I've made a difference in an entrepreneur's journey. Fundraising can be really challenging and take a long time.
It's the worst.
So
right?
As a recent example, we had a great entrepreneur who was trying to raise another $1 million in his company. He got investment from a great firm. We have a fund of our own. We were able to invest $100,000 in him and then raise the remainder of that $1 million on the crowdfunder.com platform from many hundreds of different investors and save him what might have taken 3, 4, 5 months of time to go out and try and raise that remaining $1 million. I got an email and a call from that guy saying, "You are my new best friend."
I bet.
My company is going great. The people you've connected with me with are incredible. And this is a dream come true. Thank you. When can I buy you a drink? So it's not just business. It's really making a difference in that person's life. That's when it feels great.
How many people are involved in Crowdfunder? How many people are there right now?
So we've had about 36,000 entrepreneurs come and create a company.
36,000?
36,000 seeking capital. We haven't financed all of them. Not everyone's investment ready, but we financed a good number of those. And then we have a larger network of people who are either wealthier investors or everyday investors that are now getting access to invest. And that's around 140,000, 150,000 people now on our platform looking to invest in great entrepreneurs.
Is there a common thread in what people want to start, like a travel business or?
So we do have a lot of scalable, high growth technology companies.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the majority of what we've done, but we've seen some fantastic other businesses. Consumer products is a big area. So we funded a really fantastic automated way to send from your phone to a display, just like you would have photos sitting on your desk for your mom. You can send that to your mom at her bedside and show her a family album. These types of consumer products, people really get and understand because they say, "I would buy that. I'm interested in that. I'd like to invest in that product, and I think I could be a great fan and help other people buy that."
Is there something you won't invest in?
So we don't invest in companies that are in the kind of vice area.
Right.
So that could be
porn,
alcohol,
drugs,
or,
yeah,
all those things. So, but we have a platform where entrepreneurs can come on, and as long as their company's in good standing, they're allowed to use our platform to get in front of the crowd and see if people are interested in investing. It's then up to those people to have a conversation, and for those investors to take a look and see, based on the required information that they put up, if this is a good opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. We do police it to make sure that there aren't
I was going to
no
say, how do you
people.
Vet it?
Yeah, so we make sure that a company's in good standing when it comes on, but we're not representing it and saying this is a good or a bad investment. People are making those decisions ourselves. We do invest in companies from our own fund, and we do that only behind really great, experienced venture capital investors. And then we do share that with our audience and give them access to investing in them.
A new poll says more Americans approve of President Trump than they do the big media. That's why millions are tuning in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative channel. On Newsmax TV, see Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Reagan, and more. Bill O'Reilly's No Spin News Show is on Newsmax TV. Get it on DirecTV Channel 349, Xfinity 1115, Dish 216, U-verse 1220, Fios 615, and Spectrum. Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's R-A-N-K to 79645.
This report...
I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us. Here with us again is Chance Barnett, founder and CEO of crowdfunder.com. It's not Kickstarter. It's a whole different deal. What's the normal process and how long does it take? Let's say I want to invest in a company and I have, pick a number, and I'm going to give it to you. What's the process from then?
So, say
let's say I want to invest in this picture thing you're just talking about.
Sure. So as long as they've chosen to publicly advertise, which they, in this case, this company actually did, you could go on and see that immediately just visiting crowdfunder.com, and then you could click and sign up, go through a simple registration process where we would learn about you. It's just like signing up for any website,
right,
except we're going to take a little information about who you might be, your financial status, so that we know who you are. And then you have access to making a commitment and reserving a space in that investment round.
How many lawyers do you have? I mean, the vetting process has got to be... I'm not trying to be negative, but it's got to be, you know.
Sure. So for companies that we're not involved with, it's up to you as an investor to make your own decision. That's how it works. If there's everyday people allowed to invest, then we have to put them through a process where they're vetted and there is diligence.
Right. Do you use apps to stay productive and to help you?
So for me, I use Evernote is a really great place to put a bunch of ideas and then come back to them and search them later. I see and hear so many good things. I hear from so many investors and entrepreneurs on a daily basis that just trying to manage the ideas and great projects and things that come at me is a real challenge. So Evernote's a really great application both on your phone and on your desktop. I also just really like the simple process of having a virtual assistant take almost everything I can off of my plate to free me up to either focus entirely on work or entirely on not working. And so this has become a really big, impactful thing in my life. I don't check my mail personally. Other people look through and make sure I see it. I never schedule my own travel or meetings. So I've tried to take all the low-value stuff and get it entirely off my plate. So there's actually an application that has automated a lot of that through artificial intelligence. And this one's called Assistant, sorry, it's X.AI. And it's an automated bot that will plan a lot of your travel and meetings for you.
Are you afraid sometimes that you lose a personal touch with people just by because it's a .com and you're using so much technology?
Definitely. I mean, I think we're disintermediating the days when an investment was only made by Chance and Pat sitting here and having a discussion, deciding if you and I like each other.
Right.
So we are taking that away and moving it to a one-to-many world where if it's not about liking me, it's do other people also like this investment and am I interested? So there's a slightly less personal way to it. But I also believe that it's democratizing access to both fundraising for entrepreneurs and for investing. And so what we've done to create a more personal kind of layer on it, if you will, within this process is rather than you, Pat, coming on to Crowdfunder and trying to decide...
I'll just call you. From
there you go. You got my number. It's on the internet. If you want to come to Crowdfunder and invest in a company, you might have to just try and wade through and figure out who is an entrepreneur. Well, we've done part of that work for you by showing you who are some of the world's leading investors, and we invest alongside them, and we give you access to doing that too. So as long as you know us and you know of those other investors, of which we show you a lot of information, you get to ride and piggyback along really bright people.
Wow, that is awesome. You're watching Business Rockstars, by the way, a community of entrepreneurs worldwide, on radio, TV, and online. I'm Pat O'Brien. Chance Barnett is our guest. Who are your mentors?
So I've had a couple mentors along the way. I had one mentor who was a partner in a business that I built, who was really my mentor in marketing and in thinking deeply about how to understand customers. And one of the really big things he taught me was that there's really no purpose to a business other than creating value for a customer.
So he's right.
If you can be as smart and as fancy and try and build the world's greatest brand, but at the end of the day, if you're not excelling and improving and over exceeding expectations for the customers you have coming in the door, it's very likely that over time, that paycheck is not going to be there because you're not helping the person that is the actual purpose of your business.
How do you approach hiring people? I mean, what do you have face-to-face at some point, right?
Yes.
How many people do you employ, by the way?
So we have about 20 people at Crowdfunder today. This is actually an area that I had to admit early on in my career that I was terrible at. I think some people are terrible at it. I have been terrible at it. And I look to complement myself with people who are really great at it. I really want to connect with people. I want to see their passion. I want to really look for talent. I like to complement myself with putting myself with someone who really doesn't care about liking people, who's a much harder interviewer. And so I surround myself with a set of people who are really going to support me in making a smarter decision. So that's an area where I've really tried to look for support because I'm not great as an entrepreneur.
What's the biggest quality that you'd look for? Let's say I walked in. You'd hire me, right?
I'd look for someone with initiative. Someone who's willing to self-start. Someone who's at
How
least
do you measure
willing.
That, though? I mean, in a one-on-one interview.
Yeah, I find there's a set of questions if you're really willing to go detailed about prior positions and ask them detailed questions about the projects they've done, how those projects came out. Ask them about an idea they might have had and how they took it to fruition or if they've done that. You're actually going to get a lot of the information you want. People, if they haven't done that, don't have examples of projects that they've initiated and all of the challenges that it took to get that done, plus the upside and the great feeling of creating that kind of win.
Chance Barnett is our guest, the founder and CEO of Crowdfunder. It's Crowdfunder, right?
Crowdfunder.
I don't know why I'm thinking crowdfunding. How do you get over, like you said, you're bad at interviewing people. You got over it. How do you get by things that you might not have the talent for? Not you, but entrepreneurs in general.
And so one of my favorite things to do is actually identify what that is and go out and first try and search the internet and see if there's a world's leading expert. We live in a day and age where...
You find them in a second, right?
Yeah, pick a category and there's many thought leaders, there's authors. I've seen crazy stuff happen. I've done some of it myself where you might not believe it, but if you ask a really direct, earnest question and find a way to email that thought leader, they're around because they're interested in teaching and helping other people. So I've actually been lucky enough to connect with some amazing mentors and entrepreneurs that way. That's a great way to find and complement your skills. If you can't do that, look locally for great companies and try and see if you can get someone to become an advisor to you. And make that ask specifically. I'd like to know, it seems like you're an expert in this field. I'm really looking to up my game. Would you be willing to advise me? Of course, there's got to be some give and take there. So what are you willing to offer? Would you help them and advise them? Would you give them a small amount of, say, upside in your company? What's value to them? For me, I've actually conned a lot of really smart people into giving me great advice by taking them and their friends surfing. So I grew up here in LA. I've spent my life in the ocean. I'm extremely comfortable there. And not everyone in the venture capital world surfs. So I can go get access to amazing people and bring them to the beach and get them to share all kinds of great stuff.
Chance Barnett, his real name. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the waves and congratulations on your success. This is Business Rockstars. He's one of them. We're a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for watching Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout.
Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Lisa Song Sutton. You're a serial entrepreneur, and you are up to some amazing things. Tell us, what are the different four companies that you have?
Yes, so we are in the cupcake industry, swimwear industry, real estate industry, and marketing app.
Okay, what's the hardest part about juggling four different businesses? I have to know.
Well, you know, I think the hardest part is just making sure that all the companies are growing and excelling. Okay. Each of those need the focus. Each of those need the time that's put in to sit down and dedicate to it.
It's like four children.
And that's why you have to have a partner. That's why, you know, you can't do this alone. Just like it says, it, you know, it takes a village, right?
Yeah.
Same idea with businesses. You need a strong team. You need partners. You need operational staff that's there, hands and feet on the ground, so that you can have the more large-scale vision to keep the company moving forward.
So what would you say are three traits that every entrepreneur starting out must know before they get started?
Three traits. I think they need to make sure they have a strong sense of self. Figure out your why. Why are you going into business in the first place? Why are you creating something?
Don't just get in and be like, I'm trying to make money. I want to do this.
Yeah, it's not just, I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, an entrepreneur doesn't mean anything.
Find a purpose to serve that's greater than yourself was what I say. Mm-hmm. Don't just make money, make a difference. And so figuring out how you can get into the business world to actually contribute and impact the world is so much more important than just getting in to make money.
Exactly. And just finding out, you know, kind of mapping out too, what do you want to do with the business? What's your end goal? Is it something you want to build and sell? Is it something you want to keep as a legacy and pass down to your kids?
There's really only like two different types of businesses, and you were touching on them right there. There's a lifestyle business, one that kind of allows your lifestyle to be funded through your business, in which case you can hand that down to family. Mm-hmm. And the other type of business is one that you build strategically from day one to sell. Mm-hmm. And so which ones are you doing right now for your business is what I want to ask you after, but you got to go through those three steps though.
Well, secondly, figure out who you want on your team. Even if it's just that one operational person or that one strong person, figure out who you want on your team and vet them well. Look at social media. Look at everything that they're doing already and what are they already putting out? Because as a business owner, you are the face of your brand, even if you are not the face person or not.
I love that. Number three, though, you got to give us that third one. I didn't forget.
Number three, really take time to consider how, just as you touched on, how you want it to impact your community. So is it a type of company that you think could have a global impact and you want to take it international, take it public perhaps, domestically? Yeah. Or is it something that you want really local, specific, specifically regionalized, really localized, and you want it to have that impact just there in your community that you live and work in?
Okay. So Let's go to company culture, because I can only imagine that between four different companies, you either have a lot of similar company culture, or depending on how your partners are running the business, if you're not the one that's fully in charge of the operations and things like that, maybe you've got some different company culture. But you tell me, how does the company culture look like in your business, and what are some best practices that other people can learn to adopt?
It's actually the former that you had mentioned, very similar in the sense that with all the companies, if you're talking cupcakes, penthouses, swimwear, app, whatever it is, if you scale up and take a bird's eye view, every single one of them is some sort of product that we're selling.
Yeah.
And so as a result, all the culture has to be very customer service oriented. The customer comes first. We're figuring out what the customer experience
is. In every business, hopefully, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think people who say that are, or who say the latter of it, it's very, very difficult for them to scale and grow their business because they're just so focused on, you know, kind of more immediate needs. But you really have to look at what the customer wants.
Only the government would probably say that it's the opposite,
and they're running really well, right?
And they're running fantastic. So I'm curious to know, four different businesses, right? Which one is the most profitable? You've got swimwear, you've got cupcakes, you've got real estate. So which one is the most profitable? I mean, I would be shocked if it's the cupcake business over the real estate business, especially since you said it's thriving in Vegas. But tell me which one is.
Well, for gross sales, it's definitely the real estate.
Okay.
Just because this is a really hot time in the market right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we just closed
Capitalize on it while it's here, you know?
Exactly right. We just closed out a huge quarter this past quarter.
Congrats.
For us. Thank you. But as far as profitability on our margins, the swimwear actually is the most profitable. And that's simply because we're able to buy low and sell high.
Yeah. What about the cupcake business is the fun part? And what about the cupcake business is the hard part? I'm assuming alcohol cupcakes, the fun part is probably eating it.
The really, really fun part and the best part, that's what I love about Sin City Cupcakes, is that we are the party. We get a chance to be part of everyone's celebration. So when you're coming to Las Vegas, whether it's a birthday party, a bachelor party, a spur of the moment party, whatever it is, there's a reason you're coming, and we get to have our product be part of your special occasion.
I love that. So when you're growing a business, finding partners is absolutely key. Creating great company culture is key. But what do you think about raising money? I think nowadays it's a trend. I think a lot of people see Shark Tank and they see incubators and all of these different things, and Silicon Valley. There's even a TV show now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these things, and it's just reinforcing the trend that being an entrepreneur and raising money, that's the cool, that's the hip thing to do. It's trendy. But when do you know it's the right time to raise money?
For me personally, we bootstrapped every single one of the companies.
Okay.
So it was never in my mind to go ahead and raise money because I didn't want to feel like I was giving away the company.
Hmm.
When you're raising those funds, when you're taking in investors, they're taking equity in the company in exchange for that money. And so you already valuing the company before you've even had a chance to really test the market, before you've had a year or two in sales. So for me, bootstrapping just was in my nature, and that's how I wanted to do things. I do think there are some great resources available for funding,
though. I love
though.
It. Bootstrapping's in my nature, and you're over here rocking the red bottoms all dressed.
Well, that's from my Miss Nevada days. But, you know, I think there are some really great opportunities for funding, and especially with like the Title III that just got passed, that's huge. And crowdfunding is such a big thing now, too.
Yeah.
With crowdfunding, that's what's nice. You don't have to give away equity in your company, and you are able to take in funds from people who want to help you.
I love that. So have you guys ever done any crowdfunding?
No, we have not. Like I said, we've bootstrapped all of our companies. We've run operations. We ran operations really, really lean in the beginning, and we still are fiscally responsible now. But I think it's something to consider later if you want to scale. I think money can be used as fuel. And so even with the cupcakes, for example, we've had some inbounds, and we're considering only taking in funds so that we can scale quickly again to reach our target of selling.
Okay. What is the most difficult part that most entrepreneurs struggle with when they're getting started? You've started four different businesses. You've been a part of four right now. So I think you must know the most difficult thing that people typically encounter when they're first getting started on their entrepreneurship journey. What do you think it is?
What I've heard a lot from people is just a feeling of loneliness or feeling isolated. And what's nice is to, of course, like I said, one, realize you don't have to do it alone. Even if you are sole founder and sole CEO of your company, you don't have to do it alone. So have your network, have your people around you who get the vision of the company and are there even just for moral support. Even if they're not there, you know, feet on the ground with you inside the company day to day, they're there for moral support. But also build out the community in relation to engaging with others. So whether that's volunteering in the community and spending time there or joining a professional organization, I'm personally part of the YEC, which is the Young Entrepreneurs Council.
Yeah.
And we have a private Facebook group that's only YEC members. And so you can type in there, hey, I'm having a problem with an employee and, A, B, and C happened. Has anyone encountered this before? And you will have people who jump on there and
so
comment.
So you have an association of people that can help you out.
Exactly right.
Okay. How has being resourceful served you in business? And how do you think other people can learn to become more resourceful when we live in an economy where we have more access to resources than we've ever had before?
Exactly right. Just taking that really holistic view, or even just scaling up and taking a bird's eye view of what are you doing, why are you doing it, and where do you want it to eventually go? If you can't answer those three questions about what you're doing right now, you better sit down and figure it out, because you're not going to be able to grow. You're going to constantly hit roadblocks and then have excuses for why it won't work.
Do you have a big why, a big purpose? Just
for
a
me,
simple yes or no, because then I'm going to tie another one. Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Of course.
Okay, so you both, you and I both know that having a big why is like fueling up your gas tank. You're only going to get your tank filled. And then after, for some people, it might be a couple months. Some people might be a few years. Some people might be a few decades. But eventually you're going to get to a place where if you're not focusing on your why and constantly checking in on it, you're not filling up your tank. You're going to run out of gas eventually. So how does somebody make sure that they establish and understand and have a really clear why and purpose, and then make sure that they're constantly checking in with that?
I think when you establish your why and really dig down deep, if it's from a place of service, it's going to be replenished. So whether that's somebody who says, I really want to build something important for my family, or I really want to make my parents proud, or I really want to find a way to give back to society or the community. If your why is built somewhere in a place of service, it's going to keep replenishing itself. So during my time as Miss Las Vegas and Miss Nevada, I did over 500 appearances in the Las Vegas and Nevada communities.
Yeah.
And so I was out reading at schools, I was volunteering at hospitals, I was out engaged in the community, and that filled me up every single time I had a chance to be out and be around people and be around the community.
It reminds me of the saying, the secret to living is giving.
Yes, yeah.
How important do you think it is as an entrepreneur to make sure that you stay hungry? I was interviewing Damon John recently from Shark Tank, and he said the number one key that separates super successful entrepreneurs from average entrepreneurs is how hungry they are. And so for you, how important is being hungry as an entrepreneur? You've got four different jobs, four different companies that you're working with, right?
It's so important. And I think with that motivation that you have internally, it's simply because you want more. You know that you're capable of achieving it. And I think that's important too, to have that self-confidence and that self-belief that you can be resourceful, even if you don't know how to do it yet. You say yes, and you figure it out later, right?
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. And I think if you have that confidence, it'll keep you going.
All right. So you've been on stages before, whether it was for your pageant or for speaking for different companies or for going into the community like you did. So this should be easy for you. I call it the stadium pitch, right? You walk out on stage, you've got a giant auditorium full of entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs, and they're all waiting for you to share your best advice ever with them in 30 seconds or less. So take the stage.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I don't claim to be the smartest person or the most capable person, but I do have a really strong team around me, and I have a work ethic. And I think when you have an opportunity to really show that and just get in there and have feet on the ground, you just figure it out and you get an opportunity to show that.
I love that. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
To be a great leader these days, you do not need a new set of skills. You simply need to execute the traditional ones at a higher level. Here's a few tips to become a better leader at work. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, lead by example. Leaders need to show, not just tell. If you want your employees to be punctual, make sure you're there on time or even early. Number two, find a mentor. The best leaders out there know when they need help and they know where to turn in order to get it. Nobody can know everything, so finding someone you trust for advice when things get tough can make all the difference. Number three, never stop improving. Great leaders are constantly learning and always trying to improve themselves. There's always something that you can work on or a new skill to master. Be sure to keep your mind open to new ideas and possibilities. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Grebel.
California politicians are turning restaurant employees into criminals if they give their customers plastic straws. Several cities have already banned straws, but the state of California wanted to go further, imposing fines and jail sentences. The first draft would have fined waiters $1,000 or 6 months in jail for giving customers straws without being asked. The final version that became law reduced the amount of the fines, but any fine for just offering straws is ridiculous. America will survive this disposable straw crisis, but these nanny state politicians could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Individual freedom is our birthright, and it's just not that complicated.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
Hey, if-
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
And joining me is two rockstar CEOs. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, my name is Jason Sullivan. I run two companies. One is called Viral On Demand. And like the name sounds, basically, we cause stories, initiatives, and brands to go viral on demand. And there's a certain sequence and design that we do that. And also run a business consulting company where we help accelerate the growth of companies and to where they help to help them to get to sustainable flight by design.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Jason. Right,
thank you.
And yourself?
My name is Chris Wong. I'm the CEO of a company called LifeSight. You can find us at LifeSight.co, right? And what our company is, we're a digital, way to think about us, we're a digital vault. So we maintain information for individuals and families for them to be better prepared in case life, in case life's emergency. So we maintain or will maintain and help manage and collaborate information such as passwords, health information, medical records, as well as even information pertaining to end of life issues.
Well, that sounds like an incredible platform. I'm excited to dive more into what your company's up to. Let's talk about entrepreneurship real quick, guys. When I got started, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. But now that I am one, my whole perception about what the word means is completely different. What do you guys think? What is your definition of entrepreneurship? How do you feel about the word?
Definition of entrepreneurship? You know, it's a scary, scary word. You know, everybody, it's not cut out for everybody. It's not for the faint at heart. Like we were talking about a little earlier, you're going to fail. So just expect that. But we need more entrepreneurs. We need more job creators. And we need you. I mean, 70% of the GDP is created by small businesses. So we really need to, you know, incentivize entrepreneurs to open up new businesses. That's one of the things that we try to do and to help them navigate those waters when because it is scary to get your company up and running. But, you know, it's a person that is a risk taker. That's what it means to me.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think we have a similar view. I would add courage. Right.
So there's a long list of things we could add.
Yeah. I mean, courage. I think there's also responsibility to build team leadership. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneur a lot of times implies a startup. So it's a startup, right? You're taking responsibility for families. You're taking people out of maybe established jobs.
Sure.
Right. So there's all kinds of things that go into executing as an entrepreneur, let's say.
And we were talking earlier before the cameras turned on. How many companies have you been involved in and successfully sold and exited?
So I'm a 30-year entrepreneur. So for me, this would be, LifeSight represents my seventh company. Out of the six companies prior to that, three of the companies, I started from a piece of paper, and the other three companies, I was kind of brought in as quote-unquote the professional management to take them to the next level. But I've sold all six of the companies and looking forward to the seventh.
So you're the guy that people want to be partnering with.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy it, right? Yeah. That's why I'm looking at this company. I expect this company to probably be the most fun and probably the most recognized
biggest home
company.
Run.
Exactly.
When you say that they were started on paper, were any of those on like a bar napkin or something like that?
Well, that's how yours was started, we know.
No, yeah.
Absolutely.
The idea for the first company was I basically was snowed in with my family in Lake Tahoe. And being snowed in, you can't do anything but at least think about it. So I actually did sit there, wrote the business plan, and then that was back in the heydays when the internet was kind of getting started and Eat Money was easily available. So I came back, called the venture capital, and my friend had a check for $5 million at the end of the week.
Oh my goodness. I think that's the fastest path to raising money.
I don't think you can stop there. I think you need to back up just a moment because I had a $5 million check a week later. How is that possible? I mean, is it only people that are totally connected that's possible? Or
like you had to have had, that wasn't your first business.
It was my first business, right? But it was, so we can talk about this because as an entrepreneur, right, a lot of entrepreneurs start right away. I mean, they look at all their friends, they look at all their friends' success. And they just said, this is easy to do, right? All I need to do is just kind of quit my job.
Yeah, my friend did it. My family did it.
Yeah, I mean, it works. Mm-hmm. It works. But when I started, right, one, I didn't have the guts to do something like that. And so for me, I didn't really do my first company until I was probably like 10 years into my career.
I thought you were going to say 10 years old.
I mowed lawns and delivered papers.
Sure.
You know, I had the courage right after 10 years, but I did it after basically learning, right? I had a lot of mentors, learning about what not to do as well as what to do, then had the courage. And then there's so much money available at that time. I just said, well, if all these other people could do something, I could do it as well. So it's network.
Sure.
Network. And, you know, just, I think I get asked a lot, well, how long did it take you? When I started that company, you guys asked the question, how long did it take me to conceive the idea? And I said, it took me 10 years. They said, well, you just started this company last month.
You were the overnight success.
No. It took me 10 years to accumulate the network to raise the money, right, in that
so
1 week.
So you've been putting in the work and the reps to be prepared, which is a lot of times. I mean, that's like kind of like the old saying, right? Luck or preparation and opportunity. What is the word? I'm tongue twister right now. Preparation and opportunity meet is luck. Absolutely. And so you had 10 years of preparation. Yeah. And when you had the idea, you already had the network in place to help you.
And of course, I was being facetious when I said the overnight success because other people see that and they go, they have no idea how much ice is underneath the iceberg.
No, you're right.
Right? Yeah. You had that 10 years there, and then all of a sudden they see you as success.
Because you say you wrote out a business plan on paper and it did $5 million. So.
Yeah. Well, but Jason, I mean, looked at your bio, right? You had like odd jobs. You mowed lawns and things like that.
I was 8 years old. I started my first lawn mowing business.
So you mentioned that in your bio, right? Because that actually contributed to probably your personality and kind of your leadership skills.
Well, maybe I would hope so in some ways. And yes, but I mean, absolutely. 8 years old, but who's going to say no to an 8-year old that knocks on your door and says, hey, may I mow your lawn? So it was a little easier, I suppose, but I had to do the hard work, right?
Yeah.
So that did condition me for other things. And then also breaking down the ability to knock on the doors, which is important in any business, right?
Sure.
That we're involved with. We constantly have to be knocking on doors and meeting and talking to the right people. So yeah, that had a lot to do with it.
Guys, as we wrap up our segment here, what is maybe one last little sentence or two of inspiration you can give to those aspiring entrepreneurs that are out there or to those first-time CEOs?
You know, I would say my favorite quote is hope is not a strategy. Mm. You know, so again, you've got to have intelligence before you can have a strategy. So get about the business is talking to your current customers and your lost prospects and your wish list prospects and talk to your employees and talk to your senior level executives and be open with them and have an open door policy and get that information that you need so they can tell you that, hey, we're leaving this on the table or, you know, we're missing this opportunity or things like that.
And that's one of the common themes amongst all successful CEOs is they're very clear on what their purpose is. Guys, I wish we had a little time. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Absolutely.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. This was a CEO Roundtable. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.